when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, wherever our Blood River radio audience is, no matter where you are in the world, it's got to be either morning, noon, or night, or somewhere in between. So I would just like to bid you a welcome here. Where is here? Here is Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. I'm going to be guiding our people tonight. We have another good show lined up tonight. It's going to be a little different than what I had originally expected because, you know, if you hang around live radio, you know, things change not just daily, but they change on the hour. Many times here at Blood River Radio, we have to change the show plan right in the middle of the show because we hear news breaks. We get these news breaks coming over the air. But anyway, Will, I think you'll like what we're going to do tonight. I really do. We have CW on tonight. He's kind of wearing a different hat, though. And he's really clipped to do it. But anyway, like I told you, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We were the only radio station I know in the United States, and maybe even the world. Our sole mission is to try to fight back against global white genocide. It's in full operation mode now. It has been for several hundred years. You've heard me talk about that many, many times. Our poster child for global white genocide is in South Africa. We were just talking about Simon Rose from South Africa. You'll be hearing from him pretty soon because next week, before I forget, we start our, it's going to be a long, long anniversary program for Charlottesville because we had a lot of people get on. But anyway, people, if you know the drill here, I've already spoken longer than I usually do before we go to a prayer. This is a Christian radio show. So people, if you will, get ready. I'm going to get a prayer off the top of my head. I never do anything organized, so I'm just getting ready to do a quick prayer. So if you will, please bow your heads, people. Almighty Father, Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, like we've always said 100 times, Lord, all you did was speak the words, and the entire universe was brought into existence. Nothing here on earth, in the heavens, anywhere, existed until you spoke it, you willed it. Like we've often said, the periodic table of the elements never even existed until you spoke it into a being. And Lord, the thing you did most of all that we are so, so grateful for is that, you know, man screwed up in the Garden of Eden. We brought original sin in. He was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and rightfully so. But, Lord, we were cursed with the original sin. You sent your son, your only son, Lord, down here to earth. Even though you sent him, he came on his own free will. And, Lord, while we were yet miserable, rotten, stinking, lowly sinners, and everyone is, including yours truly, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, gave his life for us while we were yet sinning. And that's pretty much the theme of this show every week, you know, along with global white genocide. Anyway, Lord, we thank you so much for sending your son to pay the sin price for us. We would ask you to, if you will, since we can do nothing on our own, even our will is not us, doesn't belong to us. It's given to by you. Lord, if you will, please continue to give us the wisdom and the discernment to know who the enemy is, what the enemy is, and how we can best, with our meager resources here at Blood River Radio, how we can best combat them, Lord, to save your people, to help save your people, your precious Christian people here on earth. If you will, Lord, never, ever let us shirk from the battle. Never let us fail to ride to the sound of the gunfire. And Lord, we would ask you to continue to bless Blood River Radio and forgive us of our sins. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. People, we had a good week last week. And you know what? We had CW was on for one time, and he's already has fan mail. I usually don't read them. We've got this fella. He's always sending in letters. And I don't read them because they're usually real long. But I've read a whole bunch of them, and I don't want him like to get his feelings hurt. And who is him? It's Steve. Steve in Baltimore. Here's what Steve writes. He's a Catholic, but he's not a he is the traditional Catholic in the same mold as Mel Gibson. And he's a big admirer of Mark on our show, too, because Mark is a Catholic. CW is just a straight-up Christian. Anyway, he says, 7-18, July 18th, St. Camillus, whoever that was, C-A-M-I-L-L-I-S. He says, hello again, Eddie. The broadcast on July 16th was so good, it almost defies description. Mark and CW, to me, are unbeatable, or an unbeatable combination. This guy's handwriting is, like mine, pretty tough to read. They have class and style, both in fine form. He says that, plus, listen, he sent in a nice donation, too. He says, John 5:46, King James Version, proves that the Jew does not believe Moses nor the Old Testament. And I looked it up, and he's right. It says, DNA does not make anyone a chosenite. And here he's right. I believe this myself because I'm a Christian. Divine faith in Jesus is what makes a chosen person. That's it. It's cut and dry. John 3:16 tells it all. He says, the money question and issue needs, as you say, he's talking about me, more time. The Bank of England, a Jew bank, was the prototype of the Federal Reserve. And he's probably right. I know CW knows more about money than I'll ever hope to know. Both of these banks paid for war. CW covered that last week with gold, talking about the gold. If we're on a gold standard, CW said there'd be no war. And he's right. He says, shortly after they were set up, you know, they started creating wars. And he says, Cornwallis, when surrendering at Yorktown, and I've heard this before, he said he knew the Bank of England had too much to do with 1776. Had a lot to do with 1776. He said the battle is over when he surrendered, but the holy war will start soon. It seems central banks in war promote and foster worldwide imperialism, Jewish imperialism. He says, keep up the good work. Precious blood of Jesus, save us. I thank you so much. He says that our radio show is a big winner radio show. Steve writes long letters, but thank you so much, Steve. And I agree with you. We had two wonderful guests on last night, and both of them are going to be here tonight. CW's on the first hour. Mark, one of your favorite guys, he's going to be on the second hour with Gene, the bitter ender himself. So anyway, with that, I think we got it. Oh, here's one more note. Oh, listen, we got another donation, folks. He says, this is from Micah, also in Maryland. He says, hey, all, as Dr. Hill says, the dog days of summer are here. Love having Dr. Hill on your show. Stay cool, Micah in Maryland. And thank you so much, Micah. Thank you so much, Steve in Baltimore, for your kind letters and cards and for your donations, which without donations, there would be no Blood River Radio. That's cut and dried. Anyway, before we go to the break, I've already talked too long, but we're going to bring CW back in. CW, what do you think about your one time on the air, fella, and you already got fan mail? What about that?
Well, I'm speechless. That's all I can say.
Well, CW, you're like me. You have a voice. You have a face made for radio, just like me. But anyway, I think we're going to talk about, hey, I'll let you tell, since you're the pro. Tell all our precious listeners what we're going to talk about, and we got about 2 minutes before we go to a break.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the COVID epidemic that we've all been experiencing the past couple of years, and this is a huge story that just keeps getting bigger by the month. There's more revelations continuously, and I don't think we've seen the end of this thing yet, but we're going to cover some of the high points on that. It's really it's a deep and it's a wide topic to talk about, so we can kind of just skim over some of the high points on this particular show. There's just a lot to cover, Eddie. So wherever you want to start, we can jump into it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just talk about deer hunting and fishing, man. Oh, wait. Let me pull me back to earth. Let me get back to earth. Well, let me ask you this. You know, to your knowledge, CW, and CW is one of the most widely read guys I know. He's probably borderline genius. At least his mom would tell you so. No, but I can tell you flat out the dude's smart. CW, to your knowledge, what is the first time you picked up anything about this this so-called deadly virus, this COVID virus? When's the first time that you think it came on to the public scene that you're aware of?
Well, I don't know why I remember this, but I do. I was sitting reading a newspaper that somebody had that was talking about this virus that was loose in China called from a town called Wuhan, and it said there were 15 million people in the city, and that it was an extremely contagious virus. So I thought to myself, this sounds bad. Here you have a very large city with an extremely infectious virus loose. So in today's society, you know, the globe is kind of connected. It's not like going from one village to the next. You can go from one continent to the next in less time than it used to take to go from one village to the other.
Well, is that CW? I don't know if you hear the music or not, but we have to take our first break. It always takes a lot of time to get the housekeeping chores out of the first segment. Dear folks, we'll be right back with CW. We're going to cover as much as we possibly can this show on Corona, and we'll probably have to cover some of it after the Charlottesville thing. Be right back, folks.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, welcome back. We got CWP back in. And we're not treating anyone like idiots. We're not treating anyone like geniuses. We have a big audience here. It's like the breakaway running a training group for St. Jude. You have every kind of pace imaginable, so you have to design a program for every possible pace. For someone who runs a 15-minute mile, to someone, we have professionals that run breakaway running, so you have to have a program to fit one size fits all. So we don't want to bore you too much. We don't want to overload you too much. This may be trying to be a long series. We'll see. But anyway, we're going right back to CW. He's the pro. We're bringing him on. And we're going to go right back to where he was when he left off. He was talking about the Wuhan, this 15 city of 15 million people in Wuhan, China. And the news said, if I remember what he said, this deadly virus had broken out. And, I mean, 15 million people, hell, that's as big as New York City. Anyway, go back to where he was, CW.
Sure. Yeah. So after I heard about this and saw that the virus was in an extremely large population area, then the next thing I watched was the response. And it was kind of weird. The World Health Organization came in. This was in like probably, I guess, February of 2020. And they came in and said there wasn't any risk and nothing to worry about, et cetera, which I thought was strange because it seemed to me like, you know, the exact opposite was true. But things played along, and I think that in the United States, we started getting cases in like March of that year. But at that point in time, they still had not imposed any travel restrictions on that area. What you could do, but China did. China restricted flights out of Wuhan to other places in China. But the kicker was that if you got on a plane in Wuhan and you just were leaving the country, you could land, I think, in another Chinese city if you didn't get off the plane and then proceed right on to your destination. So the net effect of that was that infected people with the virus were being shipped all over the world. And this went on probably for several weeks, maybe 6 weeks, I don't remember exactly, but then you started hearing cases pop up in Italy and the Middle East and other countries in Asia. And of course, everybody remembers the cruise ships where they had to quarantine everybody on the cruise ships. And so somewhere along in there, they did declare it a pandemic and then imposed travel restrictions, but by then it was too late. The whole planet had been seeded with this virus, so I thought that was strange. The next big issue that came up was the question of whether or not this virus derived from nature or whether it came out of a lab. Now, interestingly enough, there was a virology lab in Wuhan that was studying bat coronaviruses, and that's where this thing derived from. It was a bat coronavirus. So some of our top scientists and virologists immediately came out and attacked the idea that the virus came out of the Wuhan lab. So to my simple mind, you know, you've got a virology, it's a level 4 lab, which means it's designed to handle the most dangerous specimens. So you got this level 4 virology lab in Wuhan, and literally right down the street, you have an infectious coronavirus appear that never had been on Earth before. So, you know, simple logic would say it came out of the lab, right? That's what a normal person would think. But apparently that was too much of a leap for the virologists here in the United States, and they started publishing papers. One of the first ones was in a medical journal called The Lancet. I believe it was in February of 2020. And they basically came out and slammed the notion that the virus could have come out of the lab as a conspiracy theory. Well, when somebody pulls out the conspiracy theory plot, that immediately gets my attention. I just want to find out about that. And, you know, all of these scientists came out with no evidence whatsoever, by the way, zero, and said it definitely came from nature. So that's a pretty big part of the story, is where this thing came from. And, you know, we can go into that at depth if you want to. But after that, of course, it got to the United States. We had an outbreak in March and did not have a vaccine at that point in time. So we didn't have a treatment either. A lot of doctors, some doctors around the country, developed their own protocols. And probably everybody remembers the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine row that, you know, the government came out and said, don't use this stuff. It's horse wormer and rat poison and all of that. And I researched that a little bit. And the ivermectin actually is a drug that was released, I think it was in 1995, for use in humans as an anti-parasite agent. And it's one of the safest drugs in the world, even though they said it was dangerous. It was extremely safe. And there have been no serious incidents reported with it, and it's used all around the world on a daily basis. So in some countries where they have malaria, they take an ivermectin pill maybe every day or every few days, I don't know, but to try to prevent parasite infection. So extremely safe drug, but if you used it, some of the doctors that started using that and hydroxychloroquine, they were chastised and ostracized, and some of them had their license pulled, their medical license. And so this kind of instilled fear in a lot of the medical people, and they withdrew from that. If you got ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, it kind of had to be under the table, so to speak. But the government really didn't have any treatment protocol. If you went to a hospital or a clinic or something like that, they would tell you, well, just go home and drink water and take Tylenol and maybe some vitamin C, and then if you get worse, go to the emergency room, which a lot of them ended up doing since they weren't treated. And when they got to the ER, some of them had to be admitted with pneumonia and respiratory failure and stuff like that. And once they got in the hospital, I think that there really wasn't a good treatment protocol then either. There was a drug called remdesivir, which is very toxic. It's toxic to the liver and the kidneys, and they wanted to treat the people that had the serious COVID with remdesivir. And one statistic I remember is that if you were on remdesivir and you were also on a ventilator in an ICU, your chance of dying was 85%. So the treatment that the authorities were recommending was 85% fatal. That didn't seem like a very good treatment to me. So that's another part of the story. And then later on in 2021, we get into the era of the vaccines, which I think everybody's familiar with that saga. But
yes, sir.
Probably worth going into that a little bit, because that's a pretty important part of this puzzle. And really, the main message that we got out of the media and out of our government and medical authorities was get vaccinated. And get vaccinated. Whatever you do, get vaccinated. And they tried every trick in the book to get people to take the vaccination. The first thing they did was moral persuasion, and they would say, well, we need to get herd immunity, so everybody needs to be vaccinated. And if you didn't do it, you weren't a good citizen. Then they started, you know, with other carrots dangled in front of everybody's nose. You could get free bus tickets, you could get a McDonald's burger, you get French fries, you get free college tuition, this, that, and the other. And so that was the way they tried to motivate people. And, you know, at first they started off being nice about it, and then they got a little bit more haughty. And then later on, if you remember, the epidemic here was due to the fact that people were not getting vaccinated. It was called a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's what the president said. And he also got on television, and I'm talking about President Biden, he got on television and said that you need to take the vaccine. It will cause herd immunity, and it's safe, effective, and it will absolutely prevent you from getting the coronavirus. Now, I remember him speaking those words straight out of his mouth at several press conferences. And we also had his press secretary, who subsequently resigned, giving the same message, plus, you know, Dr. Fauci at the CDC. Well, if we look back on it now, it turns out that none of that was true. It did not prevent, you know, spread of the virus. If you had been vaccinated, subsequent studies showed you could still spread the virus. So that didn't happen. And as far as the effectiveness of the vaccination goes, that's another deep, dark rabbit hole you can go into. There appears to be a lot of misinformation there, not from us, but from them. And it appears like the vaccination is not effective. And the reason we know this is because if you got vaccinated multiple times, you still got the virus.
CW, please hold on to that. We're going to go right back there after we come back from our second break. People, hold on. We're getting hip deep, then we're going to go chest deep into this coronavirus. And it's very, very applicable because they're starting to bang the drums again about this coronavirus.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
Ukraine and Russia signed an agreement committing to let millions of tons of vital grain supplies ship out from Ukraine's long-blockaded southern ports. Russia has blocked Ukraine's Black Sea port since its full-scale invasion of the country on February 24, 2022, drawing accusations from the U.S. and Europe that President Vladimir Putin has weaponized food. The public school board in Uvalde, Texas, has put off a special meeting to discuss the fate of District Police Chief Pete Arredondo, with the board citing Arredondo's right to defend his actions that day in which 19 children and two teachers were fatally shot amid a multi-agency law enforcement response. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow offering the BOGO extravaganza right now on a whole slew of MyPillow products. Now you can find all sorts of great deals on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillow, six-piece towel sets, Roll and Go Anywhere pillows, much more, all priced buy one, get one free. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find you some great MyPillow products. They're all available. Oh, by the way, you can also get Mike's book absolutely free with any purchase, but you have to go to MyPillow.com/USA or call 1-800-951-8175 and make sure you use the promo code, the buy one, get one extravaganza, going on right now at MyPillow.com.
A federal judge in Texas has dismissed a lawsuit by the Texas Democratic Party that sought an order to allow mail-in voting for anyone who so chooses. The decision means that the state can continue to restrict no-questions-asked voting by mail to seniors, which the Democrats argue amounts to age and race discrimination. The White House announced that the U.S. is sending an additional $270 million in security assistance to Ukraine, a package that will include additional medium-range rocket systems and tactical drones. Ukraine forces have used U.S.-made rocket launchers and tactical drones to destroy dozens of Russian targets and hold at bay Russia's larger and more heavily equipped forces. This is USA Radio News.
Well, dear Blood River Radio people, thank you so much for tuning in. With your great family out there, I certainly appreciate all your cards and your letters. And I got a... Next, can't do it now, but I forgot. I got another great message to read from Biscuit from Florida. I'll read that later on I hope I don't forget. I'd like to read you something, people. It dovetails perfectly with what CW has been talking about, using the carrot and then taking, you know, with a velvet glove and then taking the velvet off the steel fist. And also what's involved to show you just how much your government loves you. And this guy here, I'm getting to read you a quote. It comes from John Abramson, MD, Harvard Medical School. Everybody knows how wonderful you are if you go to Harvard. I mean, that's the place. Anyway, here's what he says. This is what Dr. John Abramson says of Harvard Medical School. I'd like to reiterate that. He says, the first step to give up the illusion... The first step is to give up the illusion that the primary purpose of modern medical research is to improve America's health most effectively and efficiently. In our opinion, our being the Harvard Medical School, the primary purpose of commercially funded clinical research is to maximize financial return on investment and not health. So it's illusion. People, if you're still going around with the illusion that gigantic medicine, gigantic pharmacology, has your interest at heart. I don't think most people on Blood River Radio would buy that, but a lot of people probably do, and you see them every day wearing this stinking mask. Anyway, I hope that didn't get you too distracted there, CW. So I think I just wanted people to hear that. So go back to you, CW.
Okay, we were talking about the messages out of government media and how that ended up being truthful or not, and turns out that there hardly wasn't any truth in any of it. But, you know, as we went down this road in 2021, if people can remember, towards the latter part of the year, they started getting more aggressive about getting vaccinated. As a matter of fact, as you may recall, there were a lot of people that were mandated to get vaccinated, even if you didn't want to, which that's a problem in and of itself, because what we're dealing with here is an experimental genetic, I'll call it a vaccine, but it is experimental and it's genetic. So, and I think it's probably worthwhile, I'm talking about the vaccine now, not the virus.
Sure.
It's easy to get them confused because they do the same thing, really. The virus, infects your body by attaching onto receptors in your body called ACE receptors, and we all have them scattered throughout our body, mainly in the lung and blood vessels and vascular tissues and intestinal tract and the brain. So the virus gets in and hooks onto these receptors, and the way it does it is by attaching to the receptor with what's called a spike protein. Now, the spike protein is part of the virus, and it's the part that latches on, and then the virus is able to discharge its genetic package into your cell. Now, that's the coronavirus. In the vaccine, you're doing a similar thing. The way it works is, if you may recall, they have what they call messenger RNA vaccines. Well, what messenger RNA is it's a protein that gives signals to your body to do certain things. And when you take the vaccine, you're injected with trillions of these little, what they call nanoparticles, that have messenger RNA hooked onto them. And they said that, don't worry about it, this will stay right in the muscle in the arm, it won't go anywhere. Well, it turns out that's not true. And they have studies on this before they ever released this. It's called biodistribution studies. They actually farmed this out to Japan. And what they found was that they could detect the spike protein in the entire body. In fact, large amounts of it went to the liver and the ovary and the circulatory system. So, but anyway, I jumped track there a little bit. But
you're doing great.
What happens in this mess when you get this messenger RNA is it instructs your cells to make the spike protein. Now, important point, the spike protein has been identified as a bioweapon. So your cells have now been programmed to make this spike protein, which in and of itself is a toxin. Now, the CDC, I believe, said that the spike protein was not a toxin. But it's classified internationally as a substance of concern, and it has been developed in the past as a bioweapon. So now your cells are programmed to make this spike protein, and that's going to travel throughout your body. And guess what? It does bad things.
no kidding.
And we know this from the fact that there's a lot of data now. We're more than a year into this. I'll touch on a few of them. There's a lot, but we have some databases that look for signals of adverse reactions, and the bad news is most of them are controlled by the government. So they're the ones telling you to get the vaccine, and they're also the ones in charge of determining if it does anything bad. So not unexpectedly, they're not finding too much wrong. But even they're having trouble hiding it because their main database is called VAERS, V-A-R-E-S, and that stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, I believe. And in the VAERS database, I have seen numbers as high as 15,000 to 25,000 deaths I think that they've scrubbed it to some extent. I think I remember seeing the number over 20,000 at one point. Now it's back down to 15. I think they relooked at the case reports. People who are actuaries have looked at this database, and it's underreported by a factor of at least 30. So if they're reporting 10,000, that's 300,000 deaths in that one database. There's another one called that's by the Department of Defense, and basically it monitors the health of the military. And this database also showed a marked increase in all sorts of diseases in 2021. And I think I've got that here. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
While you're looking for that, CW, I would like to read the audience something. You mentioned the CDC. Let me read this. By the way, some of these quotes I'm reading, people come out of this book called The Real Anthony Fauci. Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I was never a fan of the Kennedys, but I'm telling you, Robert F. I think is probably a good dude. Here's what he says. I'm going to make this short because I don't want to interrupt CW very long. He says, skipping down here. He thought he knew everything there was to know about chicanery in industry. Because after all, he's been working at it. He's a great attorney. He's fought against Big Oil, King Coal, the chemical agriculture polluters, and all their loyalties. I love it when he says to our Congress that they're our indentured service to these people. Here's what he said briefly about the CDC. I know people, I was kind of stunned when I saw this. You may not know this. I don't even know if CW knows this. It says the CDC, for example, get this, people. The Center for Disease Control, they're part of the apparatus supposed to be monitoring and policing these drugs to make sure they're safe. And CW brought this up, mentioned the CDC. He says, for example, they own 57 vaccine patents. Get that. I'm going to say it again. The CDC owns 57 vaccine patents, and they spend $4.9 billion of their $12 billion annual budget, that's as of 2019, buying and distributing vaccines. Do you think there might be a conflict of interest there? People, do you think that Dr. John Abramson might have known what the hell he was talking about? We're talking some major corruption. I hope I didn't distract our guest.
No, that's a big part of the story, and you're exactly right. And it's actually more than that. Vaccine they're calling, it's not really a vaccine, but anyway, the research on that goes all the way back to the year 1999, and so they've been working on this thing for 20 years. But anyway, I'll get back to the what we're talking about the side effects of the vaccine, and this is from the Department of Defense Medical Epidemiological Database, and I'll just read you some of them. This is the year 2021 compared to the year 2020. Now, the year 2020 is when the coronavirus was running around loose, and the year 2021 is where the vaccines were in effect.
OCW, my dear, dear friend, my dear brother, we'll be right back. This will be our last break for this hour. People, don't you worry. CW is not going to be a stranger on this program. He's going to volunteer to run in and out for the duration, however long it takes. We'll be right back after this break, folks. Hang on to your seats.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, I hope you're hanging on. Some of this stuff is about 150 feet above my head, my little pea brain. But I've always promised I try to get the best people I possibly can on the show. That's my only talent. It's my only talent is spotting talent. And I think if you listen to CW, the guy knows what the hell he's talking about. I mean, he is smarter. I promise you we get good people on here. I don't want to interrupt CW too much, but he said something that a bunch of red flags went off in my mind when he said, I hope I don't get him too far off fetch, too far off track. I'm notorious for going down rabbit trails. He said something that was really alarming to me. I've never heard it. He said, I thought that originally the spiked proteins at the in these RNA receptor vaccines, et cetera, the spike proteins parts were originally developed as a bioweapon. And he was telling about this professor at the University of Carolina that I'll let CW talk about that. He'll do an infinitely better job than I can do. Go ahead, CW.
Okay. I don't think it was originally developed as a bioweapon, but the spike protein came in later. What they started doing research on was the coronavirus itself, because of the viruses that are available, that one can be the most easy manipulated, apparently. At least that's what I've read. So they were studying the coronavirus to try to figure out if they could use it to get information into cells that could fight disease like HIV. But somewhere along the way, they apparently got sidetracked. And this information comes from a man named David Martin, who has got a company that's involved in patent research. And he's got all these patent databases, and he can kind of track this stuff down. But so I give him all the credit for coming up with this information. But in 2005, well, in 1999, this is off of Dr. Martin's website. Dr. Barrick, I believe it's Barrick, that's how you pronounce that, at the University of North Carolina, and Dr. Fauci started research into the coronavirus, presumably to find ways to treat HIV and other diseases. In 2005, Dr. Barrick was made a presentation at the conference held by DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Project and agency. And at that conference, he stated that the coronavirus could be used as a bioweapon. So apparently, you know, a light bulb went off at that time, and they realized, hey, we can do things other than treat diseases with it. We can make a weapon out of it. And so in 2013, they granted the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill an exemption from gain-of-function research. Now, gain-of-function just means you're making something more contagious and more deadly. That's all it means. So deadly and contagious, infectious, that's gain-of-function. So they this type of research was prohibited by the government, is my understanding, but an exemption was given to the people at the University of North Carolina who were working on this project. Then in fast forward to 2011, and in that year, an announcement was made by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, which is a big financial entity out of England, and the Chinese CDC is what Dr. Martin says, that they were instituting a decade of vaccination. Now, this was in 2011. So we go forward to 2013 or so, and they instructed the researchers to find a deadlier virus in Wuhan. In other words, they had the coronavirus, they were using it, but they wanted something deadlier. So they knew that there was a lot of bat viruses over in China. So that's when they apparently decided to go over there and extend the research. In 2015, the Wuhan lab was given clearance to do gain-of-function research. Now, I'm not sure who gave them that clearance. Obviously, the United States couldn't order the lab in Wuhan around, I don't think.
The deep state.
Yeah, but they did get a gain-of-function waiver. And in 2016, an announcement was made that the coronavirus, and I'm quoting what Dr. Martin says here, was poised for human emergence. And here's the real money shot. In 2019, Dr. Fauci made reference to accidental or institutional release of respiratory pathogens, and he said by the year 2020, the world would accept a universal vaccine platform. So those are statistics and features that Dr. Martin has come across in his research, and his name's David Martin. I think he's got a website, and he's on podcast, so you can check him out if you want to. But that's the story on that. But getting back to the vaccination and what it does is bad. Remember, Dr.
CW, before you go to the vaccination, please don't forget that. I'd like to point out something to the audience here.
The diseases of the nervous system were up about 1,000%. Malignancies, tumors in the neuroendocrine system were up 276%, heart attacks were up 340%, pulmonary embolus, that's blood clot, was up 260%, congenital malformations up 87%, brain hemorrhage up 227%. So it just goes on and on, and there's a lot of data here from this. Now, interestingly enough about this particular database, this was a public database, and I'm talking about the Department of Defense. And anybody could get on it and look at the data. And when this data was published, I think within 2 or 3 days, the whole database was taken down. And they came up back and said a few days later that there were flaws in the database, that they had made errors in data entry for the years preceding 2021. So it looks like they're going to go back and readjust that data so it doesn't look so bad. But that's what happened in that particular story. The bottom line is the vaccination appears to be something that probably should be avoided rather than forced onto people. And, you know, there's a lot of stories about people getting vaccinated and having health problems. Or one thing that caught my interest was this story that came out on the athletes all over the world just dropping dead. I think there were reports of like 500 athletes keeling over dead when they were out, you know, performing on the field. Now, a lot of these have been caught on film, and you can see some of them on the internet. But of course, that would be a professional sporting event, and that doesn't include high schools and colleges and other people participating in sports. But normally, in a year, you'd have like 5 to 10 arrests like that where people were falling dead on the sports field. But I think it was over 500 in the year 2021. So another signal of danger as far as the vaccination goes.
CW, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Good. I didn't know if I was going out. I didn't want to interrupt you. You said something else. I'd like the people to know this, that this professor at the University of North Carolina, he went to these people. This is anytime you hear the word DARPA, that's bad. You know, they're in the business of figuring out how to kill people, they're in the business of making yet a better weapon, a deadlier war. And listen, so that's what they were doing with this virus. It's this vaccination, in my opinion, from what CW is leading to, this vaccination was developed as a weapon. And get this, who in the hell gave them their exemption? I'll tell you who did it. The deep state gave them their exemption. We're being run by a deep state. I know that's maybe kind of a rabbit trail, but this your government, your president, your governor, whoever you want to refer to, they really don't have a whole lot to do anything. The big notion here, the big point is, the deep state runs everything in conjunction with the giant pharmaceutical industries, these giant trans globalist, industries, and they're in the business to kill you. That's what. Anyway, I hope I didn't get too far ahead or too far behind or distract you, CW. But man, that just really makes my blood boil. But anyway, go ahead, CW.
Well, the people are confused because they're getting a message from their authorities, government officials, and scientific people, and the medical community has fallen down on this whole thing. I mean, a lot of doctors are telling their patients to get vaccinated, and of course they're told that's what they're supposed to do. And if they don't, there have been cases where if the doctor spoke out against getting vaccinated, they'd lose their license. So there's some heavy stuff going on here, and I guess some of them are living in fear of losing their livelihoods and that type of thing. But I think that I would recommend to people listening just to pay attention to the people around you who have been heavily vaccinated and see what happens to their health. If this stuff is true, then, you're probably going to notice the effects in your friends and relatives, and that'd be a clue to you as well.
Absolutely. And to backtrack just a little bit, we were talking about, vaccine patents with the CDC. I was looking down here, and I like the people to know, and I'm just trying to further wake the people up with my little meager brain into how you cannot trust the so-called watchdog organizations that R.F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy talked about. He said they have become, he calls it, they're in a state of regulatory capture. The organization, the United States Congress, the FDA, the CDC, that are supposed to be keeping a lookout for us, our watchdog, he says regulatory capture. That's the process by which the regulator becomes beholden to the industry it's meant to regulate. And tying that together, the FDA, get this, people, the FDA receives 45% of its budget from the pharmaceutical industry through what are euphemistically calls user fees. They get 45% of their budget from the people that are supposed to be a watchdog going over. I hope I got that out clear, and I hope I didn't distract CW too much there. But I think our people need to know that, CW.
Yeah, it's definitely an incestuous relationship, and you're right about the money powers. I mean, they do pull a lot of the strings, and that's just the way it works. And they use that, to get what they want in their own particular circumstances. Apparently they wanted everybody vaccinated. And I think that, we're probably going to hear more vaccine rattling around. The coronavirus now has become endemic, meaning it's spread throughout the population. It's not really in a epidemic form anymore, unless we get some weird mutant. But normally what happens and what's been happening with this coronavirus is, as time goes by, the mutations, that's changes in the viral structure, they become less deadly. And that's what's happened. And we had a really big spike last December of a variant called Omicron. And that one was extremely contagious, but it wasn't deadly.
Uh-oh, CW. There was a lot of things I wanted to read on this statistics stuff, but we've run completely out of time. As you well know, I will be in contact with you constantly, and you do the same. Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you for coming on, and I'll be getting in touch with you again. People, I hope you not so much enjoyed it, but as you got informed, it's kind of scary, and it pisses me off what's being done to our people. So people, hang on. We're going to transition to the second hour. We're going to pick up Mark and the Bitter Ender. Be right back. Hold on to your seats.